Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is Football Social Daily, the Premier League podcast.
The Football Association Challenge Cup, the world's oldest domestic cup competition, packed full of tradition, packed full of emotion, and as we saw yesterday, packed full of drama. But this week, it's been tainted, tampered with, if you will. FA Cup replays from next season have been scrapped. Is this another example of the greed of the big boys, or is it simply moving with the times? Also, if I asked you who is the biggest star right now, Taylor Swift or the Nottingham Forest Twitter admin? As Forest's bizarre tweet, effectively hinting at refereeing corruption, has been viewed more times than Tay-Tay's tale about her new tunes. We'll look at the controversy that's come out of what's being called the Deductor Derby on today's Football Social Daily, the award-winning Premier League show. My name's Niall, joined by Joel Tudor in the studio and Marley Anderson as well. How you doing, boys?
I do well, thank you. Just about calmed down after the weekend. Just generally quite angry at both Nottingham Forest and Man United and VAR and all the rest of it, but I'm sure we'll get into it in a few minutes' time.
It's a good job we do a feature called Get in the Sea then every Monday, Joel, isn't it?
How bloody convenient, because there's a lot of things that can get in the sea this weekend, this week or this Monday, let's say. Wow.
There's so many things. Honestly, there is an abundance of things, from scrapping FA Cup replays to Manchester United's performance to Antony's antics towards the Coventry fans to VAR to Nottingham Forest's statement. We'll try our very best to go through it all on today's show. But if you've never listened to us before, this is Football Social Daily, an award-winning Premier League podcast. Hit subscribe or follow and that way you'll never miss one. You can get in touch with us via social media. The links are all in the description, including the link to the free-to-join Telegram group where there has been plenty of chat. Now, we always start the show on a Monday with Get in the Sea, which is our chance to have a moan or a whinge or a whine about something that's annoyed us over the course of the weekend. There is so much to go through. I want to say my piece about FA Cup replays being scrapped. I'll bottle it up a little bit more. I think that I'll give the honour to you guys first.
Where do we want to get the juicy fat first? Where are we pulling the fat from first?
Should we start with the FA Cup?
Let's do it. I just want to apologise first and foremost to you boys, to the audience, for sounding like a broken bloody record all season of how many times do I have to say it. This Man United team cannot hold a lead to save its life at all. Doesn't matter if it's Championship team, doesn't matter if it's a top Premier League team. There's something in this team, whether it's the mentality, the system, the structure. We'll get into the details. I think I know why. But it was so... I'll just fast forward to the end of the game first and foremost. I've never felt so deflated after a win, a semi-final win, than that ever. It actually felt like a loss. And I know everyone will say, yeah, but you're through. That's not the point. It's the manner of it, which was absolutely disgraceful. I mean, like you just said, 58th minute, I thought we were cruising. Everything was under control. I was already thinking about the next game. And then suddenly, capitulation. How many times have we seen it this season? How many times have I said it?
But this is the thing. You mentioned it doesn't matter who it is. I think it does matter who it is. We know this United side is soft at times. They conceded 2 goals in 10 minutes in the group stages of the Champions League against Bayern Munich. They conceded 2 goals in 5 minutes to lose to Chelsea when they were 3-2 ahead at Stamford Bridge a couple of weeks back. But to be 3-0 up against Coventry from the Championship, a side who aren't even in the Championship playoffs, by the way, and get saved by a VAR decision for a marginal offside to only then scratch it on penalties.
This has happened time and time and time again. I could rattle on about every game this season where it's happened. Winning 3-2 in the last 10 minutes and suddenly everything just goes completely to pot. But Ten Hag has a lot to answer for. And don't get me wrong, the players are the ones who have to show their bottle and their nerve in those situations. But Ten Hag's in-game management this year, this season, compared to last season, I can't even recognise it. Last season, he was worth his weight in gold when it came to in-game management. He was winning games for United through his in-game management last season. He was one of the reasons why we were really successful. This season, or more specifically, this game, why would you take off Kobbie Mainoo and Garnacho for Eriksen and Antony at that stage? And I know it's a Championship club, but why tinker with it even more? Two players who are easily overrun on the ball. We were in complete control. I don't understand why he's changing quickly.
Yes, ultimately, it's his head on the line.
It's happened time and time again, though. This is the
Absolutely,
thing. It's not an isolated incident.
Well, that point Joel said there is completely fair. Like, with the decisions don't help the outcome. And, you know, it was 3-2, and he takes off Mainoo, who's a, you know, energetic, combative 18-year-old. I think he gives you some sort of tenacity in midfield, and he replaces him with a 34-year-old Christian Eriksen, who's then playing defensive midfield. Christian Eriksen's one of them rare players that has been one position his whole career. He's only ever been a number 10. He's only ever been a playmaker who doesn't have much defensive responsibility. And because his legs have gone slightly, even though I would argue he never used his legs, he was never a guy who runs away from players. He's a guy who uses his brain. And links play like that, similar to like Luka Modric or someone of that sort of ilk. He puts him on in defensive midfield, and all of a sudden you've got a defensive midfielder who can't tackle. He doesn't put tackles in. That's not his game. And then Coventry are getting at Casemiro playing centre back, who's, you know, again out of position and again old, and you're getting overrun in midfield. So that doesn't. That doesn't help at all. I don't see why. I don't think Kobbie Mainoo was injured or sort of tiring or anything like that. So, you know, the questions have to be looked at, you know. He doesn't have a clue what his best team is. He doesn't know how he wants to play. I think he's just using Eriksen because he was there, not necessarily because he was the best option at the time.
Erik ten Hag now has got Manchester United to back-to-back FA Cup finals. Had they lost against Coventry, do you think he would have seen out the rest of the season?
I think the decision would have been made after that, to be honest. I'd be surprised if it's already been made after that game, because Jim Ratcliffe was there after his London Marathon run, made it 1 hour later to the game. That's quite admirable.
Put himself through physical torture to run a marathon and then mental torture to go to Wembley.
Poor fella. I think the game was more brutal than the marathon, to be honest. In my opinion, if you would have, I know you guys asked me this 2 months ago, and I said I've always wanted to see Ten Hag under a solid structure above him, not a circus, solid people like Berardi, who's coming in, Ashworth, if it ever comes and ever happens, you know, real football people. I've always said that. But I've seen nothing this season that suggests there's progression ahead. He's signed the players he's wanted. He's been given complete accountability for the transfers. This season was almost like his season. Granted, he's had a lot of injury issues, but it does not excuse the way and the manner in which this team just lets down and dies. I get your point completely in the fact that Eriksen coming on and Antony coming on for Manchester United against Coventry should never change anything, because we still should be in control. But what I counter that with is that it happens every single game. It doesn't matter who it's against, it happens every single game. So then you have to think, well, what's the kind of mentality of this squad then? Why is it that when a team gets one goal and comes back into the game, do the team, or the Man United team, automatically think, retreat? We're going to get completely rolled over.
Because they've been stung by it before, Joel. That's why. And that's exactly what Coventry feasted upon. You could feel it in the stadium. As soon as they've got one back, it gives them a bit of hope. But as soon as they get two back, they remember the Chelsea game, they remember the Bayern Munich game and all the other games that United have capitulated in this season. Coventry feed off of that. They think, we've got these. And Manchester United will feel the exact same way. And that mentality seeps into the players, who will be thinking the exact same thing. Oh no, we can't let this go. Imagine the stick we'll get in the morning.
It's infectious. When Coventry scored their one goal, I wasn't thinking we're still going to win. I'm thinking if they get a second, we're in trouble. See, it's infectious.
But if you're thinking that, it'd be silly to think the players aren't, because of course they are.
Oh, of course they are. But then who'd you point the finger at them? Is that the manager's choice to get them a little bit more willed up and a bit more solid? Or is that the players? Or is it both? Probably is a matter of both, I would say. So honestly, I can't... With the landscape of managers currently available, it's hard for me to say. And I kind of still stand by the fact that I want to see Ten Hag under a solid structure. But I think patience is really running dry now, not only with fans, but with Jim Ratcliffe, who, let's remember, did his interview with the BBC and refused to get drawn on any comments about Ten Hag, the Man United manager. I think that speaks volumes in itself. So I don't even think he's fully favoured anyway. And that was 2 months ago. So I'm pretty confident if he doesn't win the FA Cup. You know what? No, not even, it shouldn't be on a game basis. I think they've seen enough now in the last 2 months to make a decision. I think so. If they're truly football and business people, it shouldn't fall on one game. It should be the course. And I don't think he's done enough in the last 2 months to fill Berarda and Ratcliffe with much confidence.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back. This is Football Social Daily, the award-winning Premier League podcast. And Premier League clubs, again, are being accused of being greedy and not caring about the rest of the football pyramid because, Marley, the decision was taken over the weekend, or just before the weekend, that FA Cup replays from next season will be scrapped. Understandably, this has really irritated fans of Football League clubs. Premier League supporters have been a little bit more understanding towards the decision that their clubs have taken. And I was actually really disappointed with some of the discourse from managers in their press conferences when asked about this. What's your take as a Newcastle fan on the decision to scrap FA Cup replays? Because, as you can probably tell, I think it's a disgrace.
Yeah, when I seen it, I initially thought, well, Niall's going to be absolutely furious about this. For me, it doesn't make much difference to me as a Newcastle fan, but as a football fan, it's stupid. It's ridiculous, and it's elitist, and it's another instance of the drawbridge being pulled up behind the big boys to protect them a little bit more. And I don't know why, you know, there's talk about, you know, player welfare and stuff like that. But, you know, player welfare could easily be combated by kickoff times being not completely controlled by the TV companies and, you know, Guardiola was moaning at the weekend about how you know they've got to play Saturday, early Saturday rather than late Sunday when the other two teams in the other two games, so the other three teams in the semi-finals hadn't had midweek games, and he's right about that. But ultimately, like FA Cup replays are just not the solution. Getting rid of them is not the solution to anything. It just starves the smaller clubs of a big payday, and helps them run. You know, they earn thousands. They earn two or three seasons worth of running costs in the event of a big money sort of money spinning replay against a team from a bigger division, and it winds me up big time.
The best players are on the biggest wages. That is the situation with Premier League players. They play significantly fewer games in the league than EFL sides. They moan about short recovery time, yet they've got the best physios, they've got the best nutritionists, they've got the best sports scientists, they have the best facilities to help them recover, something that Football League clubs don't have. He was moaning about having to play so shortly after the Champions League. That is the price of success. Yes, I understand it's his job to look after his players, but also it's his job to win trophies. And the way that the scheduling is frustrating, but that is just how the game has gone. That is English football. Chelsea play Arsenal on Tuesday night. If Chelsea had played on Sunday, he would have moaned that Arsenal had an easier ride because they had a day's more recovery. Now, the argument is they could have moved the Chelsea game against Villa, I think it is, to Sunday, and that would have solved the problem. Both sides would have had 3 days rest or whatever between games. But the point of the matter is the broadcasters are the reason that there is so much money in the Premier League. And Jurgen Klopp did this interview a couple of years ago, didn't he? Complaining about 12:30 kickoffs. And the reporter very rightly stood his ground as a broadcaster and said, you can't sit there and say that we want to win things, spending money on elite players, and then complain that kickoff times have been moved for broadcast. The reason the Premier League makes so much money is because of broadcast rights, and kickoff times will be moved. Why are we blaming the FA Cup and not UEFA, who have just brought in this expanded Champions League? Your incentive for not playing FA Cup replays is win the match. That's your incentive. Because the incentive for those players on the other side who might never get a chance to play against players of that quality is to get a result, make a moment, create memories for themselves. And there will be players that they come up against that will get paid more in 1 week than these players get paid in a whole season. And yet we're expected to feel sorry for these elite players. Yes, there is too much football, but that is the price of the game at the moment. If you want the game to be wealthy and you want the best players, you have to play more games and you have to deal with those awkward kickoff times. The fact that Football League clubs weren't asked about this and the FA and the Premier League just decided on it without consulting 72 other clubs is frankly an utter disgrace. That for me is the biggest problem. I don't even mind that much about them moving the FA Cup final to the penultimate weekend of the season. That doesn't bother me too much. As I said, they scrapped FA Cup final replays if it was a draw after 90 minutes at Wembley years ago. They scrapped semi-finals at neutral grounds 25 years ago. The game moves on. Times change, I get that. I don't even care about the FA Cup final being moved to the weekend before the end of the season. I don't think that's the biggest problem. The biggest problem is complaints about scheduling, and then 3 days after the end of the Premier League season, Newcastle are scheduled to play Tottenham in Melbourne, Australia. 3 days after the end of the season. And you're expecting me to believe this argument that they care about player welfare and that's why replays are being scrapped. It's just complete contradiction. So don't say you care about tradition. Just tell the truth. Stop taking fans for fools and tell us the real reasons why I've scrapped FA Cup replays.
I think this is a butterfly effect of the Super League. Because if you think about it, UEFA had to change everything because of that threat. And because of it happening, they've now got the, 48-team league or whatever it is, which means all the top Premier League clubs may have to play an extra 8 games a season, potentially. So clearly, that's got to trickle down. Something's got to give. Something's got to compromise. And I feel like this almost devalues the FA Cup even more. If it hadn't already been devalued, I think it devalues even more. With this situation, again, like Marley said, very elitist. It benefits one cluster of clubs. I'd like to see if there's any contingency plan from the Premier League clubs, considering that replays are almost like a huge money made, a money day for some of these lower teams. So is there going to be more money getting trickled down? It's not even just, the replays are more than just money as well. It's exposure. And it's club history. Just pumping an extra 34 million into the lower league, it's not going to have that much of an impact. And I want to see the receipts of where that money's going as well, to be honest.
Yeah. And you get, you know, that it's another thing. It's just taking the dream away from smaller teams. The FA Cup is the most, and, you know, it's a tired narrative, this one, but it's the most magical cup in the world. You know, it's unlike any other. You get shocks, you get huge upsets, you get a random, you know, the random draw where anyone could get anyone within Liverpool against Arsenal in the third round of the FA Cup this season and so on. And now, you know, you've got like I said before, it's the drawbridge being pulled up and the elite clubs getting a little bit more protection.
What do you make of that pre-season? I can't even call it pre-season, but what do you make of that friendly, which has been penciled in for the 22nd of May between your boys and Tottenham?
I don't get it. When it was pre-season, I thought, oh.
It begins with M and ends in Y.
It's got one in the middle.
Yeah, it's money, isn't it? I don't get it. When I heard pre-season, I thought, oh, it's, you know, July and we're going to do a little tour of Australia. And then we've got this bizarre thing. I mean, it takes 24 hours to get to Australia. So to play 2 days later is bizarre, and it's a one-off, and then you come home again. What's the point? I don't get it, but it feels to me like the 37th game, oh, sorry, the 39th game idea that they were flirting with for a while, and every time it came to the public, the public were like, F this, we hate it, what's the point in it? It's just money chasing. But Richard Scudamore, I think it was at the time, and the powers that be kept flirting with it and kept flirting with it, and they'll dress it up in different things. And that's what the Champions League is from next year, the reformed Champions League. I'll fight to the death and argue that Champions League does not need changing. The group stage followed by the knockout stages, that is a cup competition. Next year, we're getting a league format, which is way less exciting and way more teams in it, which means the quality of the teams at the bottom compared to the ones at the top is going to be even bigger. But it's just the Super League in a different set of clothes. That's all it is. Like, it's just a different name for the Super League, and it's the compromise because UEFA, you know, messed their pants when the cartel tried to leave. And, you know, it's just, there's instances of it going on all around the world, and this is England's latest of, well, we'll screw the FA Cup and its 130-year history or whatever it is. We're going to change it because people at the top are saying, oh, well, we don't want to play replays. Well, as you said, win the game. Go and win the game. Don't take it to a replay. Be good enough to beat that lower league team full of accountants and bricklayers, and don't have the replay. But if you do have the replay, you have to say, you know what, fair play to them, because the money they've got when they come back to Old Trafford or the Spurs stadium or the Arsenal stadium or even a lower end like Hillsborough, for example. If a non-league team of part-timers goes to Hillsborough, for example, and plays Sheffield Wednesday, who are a bottom-end championship team, they make enough money from gate receipts and running costs to run their club for the next possibly 2 years, 3 years maybe.
Final part of today's Football Social Daily, the award-winning Premier League podcast. Nottingham Forest against Everton was always going to be a huge game in the Premier League relegation fight. Everton with three huge points in it. And points is an interesting word to use because both sides, Joel, have had points docked this season for breaches of the Premier League's profitability and sustainability rules. Nottingham Forest, though, shortly after full time, tweeted this: three extremely poor decisions. Three penalties not given, which we simply cannot accept. We warned the PGMOL that VAR is a Luton fan before the game, but they didn't change him. Our patience has been tested multiple times. Nottingham Forest Football Club will now consider its options. 41 million views later, this tweet from 3:37 p.m. yesterday is still live.
They're bigger than Taylor Swift right now. Do you know how big you got to go to?
More views on that tweet than on Taylor Swift's, yeah.
That is huge, but for the wrong reasons.
It's huge because it just shows, Marley, how nonsensical that is. Effectively, what they've done there, in no uncertain terms, is accuse the VAR official, Stuart Atwell, of being a cheat. Reading between the lines, that is what Nottingham Forest is suggesting.
Yep, that's what it insinuates. I couldn't believe this. I could not believe it was true. I thought when I first seen it that I had to check the handle was right, because I thought it was a parody account of Nottingham Forest. I thought it was possibly photoshopped. I'd always take anything I see on social media with a hint of, surely this can't be real. Surely there must be another explanation for this, but no, it's real. And then I remembered who runs Nottingham Forest, and I was like, oh, it's absolutely real, because this Greek bloke is nuts. I don't even know where to start, but I've been a social media manager for 8 years now, and I've ran accounts where you have to get things signed off, and I've always wondered about the process of saying certain things on an official account when you ultimately are the one that types it. I've always wondered, how many people do you have to ring people quickly and say, is this all right? What tone are we going for? Etc. etc. But this feels like Marinakis has had the login to Nottingham Forest Twitter.
I actually feel sorry for the social media team at Forest, because there's no way that they've tweeted that themselves. It's no way. That's 100% come from someone very high up in Nottingham Forest Football Club, if not Marinakis himself.
Yeah, well, we always wondered, didn't we, what is the point of Clattenburg being there? It feels wrong at the time. It feels just really strange of, you know, it's a position that's never existed before, and he's sort of being brought in and put on the payroll, and it's almost like to justify this kind of statement, like, oh, well, we hate this decision and he agrees, but also you're paying him, so is he gonna go against you? That's daft. Gary Neville, I think, called for Clattenburg to resign from his position, because how can a former Premier League referee almost endorse the accusation of corruption and bias? I agree with him. I think he should. But instead, Clattenburg has doubled down on the process and given this bizarre statement of, you know, if I was in charge of the Premier League referees, the PGMOL, I wouldn't have put Stuart Atwell on VAR. Well, do you know what, Mark? If I was King of England, you know, everyone would have more money in the bank, and I would absolutely do what I wanted to improve everyone. But at the end of the day, you've just made the whole thing a farce. And you know, as for Nottingham Forest saying we're going to consider our options, like that's embarrassing.
That's we're taking our ball and going home sort of stuff, that, isn't it?
Forest, please take your ball. Please take your ball and go home.
Liverpool did it, didn't they, after that Luis Diaz goal? And they did that threatening
pass. We called that out at the time, and that set a terrible precedent.
And yet they've not read the room. What happened after Liverpool said we're going to take it further? They still lost the game. That's it. They reviewed the footage. They acknowledged it was wrong. And then you move on. Yeah.
You again, can't do anything else, can you? Once the game's gone, it's gone.
Well, do you remember when Jurgen Klopp insinuated they wanted the game potentially replayed? I mean, come on. Everyone forgets how ridiculous it is to say such a thing. They got an error wrong. Hopefully they never get that situation wrong again. But if you go actually into the game, okay, I think they got one penalty decision wrong. That was the last one.
I'm going to say 1.5. I totally agree. And I understand that they're aggrieved in a big game. They didn't get at least one of those penalty decisions, because the last one, as you say, from Ashley Young. Well, all three were Ashley Young. Might get into that in a second. But I agree, the third one,
it's clear
terrible.
It's clear cut.
Terrible that wasn't given. How he wasn't sent to the screen. Yeah. The handball one, 50-50, which is why I said 1.5, because Grealish had one that wasn't given on Saturday in the FA Cup against Chelsea. Aaron Wan-Bissaka had one against Coventry that was given. And yet we see one very similar with Ashley Young in the Premier League on the same day. Consistency with handballs has been all over the place, not just this season, but for ages now. The first one I didn't think was a penalty. So I'm going to go with you. I'd say at least 50%.
I mean, with handballs, if we're going to isolate that, it's literally whatever mood the referee turns up on the day. Every single one is contextual. No consistency whatsoever. You just mentioned the two FA Cup games. Pretty identical.
Yeah.
One gives it, one doesn't give it. So you're literally going to the case of how harsh is the referee going to referee the game.
The refereeing this season has been so poor.
But do you know what we mentioned about VAR? It's not VAR, it's the people running it. Like you've just said, why on earth have they not spoken in the ear of the referee in this Everton game and said, we think there might be a foul here. Go and check it, just double check. Instead, they want to play God, dictate the rules. I remember when us three had that conversation, maybe in January, February, after that Liverpool game. Actually, sorry, it's in November time. And we all said, we don't want 3-4 guys in a metal tin can somewhere in Midlands, I don't know where it's based, the VAR room, dictating games of football. They're paying the referee because he's qualified to do the game. I said in that episode, and I vividly remember me saying this, I'd rather they go and send the referee to the screen for every single decision that they think is wrong. That way, we can't start blaming these invisible men in the room when we can see exactly he's watching the screen, we're taking his opinion, and we'll take it. Fine, you're the guy refereeing it. When you've got guys above you playing God, like they're this, you know, House of Cards type figure, we can't see them, but they're dictating the game. I hate that, because now we're wondering, so who's the person who's not told him to go to the screen then? Which is the person? We don't know who's accountable anymore. At least if the referee's making the decision, he's accountable. Work together a little bit. I genuinely don't get it.
Nottingham Forest aren't being singled out here, and the referees aren't corrupt against Forest. This is the exact same situation we had with Liverpool earlier in the season, where we had a shocking decision in that Tottenham game. But what do they want to do when they say, we'll explore our options? What are they going to do? Sue the Premier League? We've got to a situation now where you've got clubs, owners, referees, all in a situation where everyone's just pointing fingers at each other and saying, oh, I'll sue you for that. I'll sue you for this.
Too much money in the game.
Ridiculous.
Too much money.
It's ridiculous.
And I think the fact that Nottingham Forest have been deducted points, they think the world's against them. That's what it is.
Yeah, it's this weird like mentality that's been instilled from somewhere. I'm not quite sure where, but if this thing of I actually think it's the Premier League sort of I think it comes from the independent regulator being like threatening, and these points deductions, I think clubs are now trying to build on that and saying, well, you know, if you don't, you know, change this decision or give that decision, then we're gonna take our, you know, as Forrest said, we're gonna consider our options. But all your options are is to just take it, just take it. Like, you haven't got an option. What are you gonna do? Pull out the league, and then what?
I think the options are therapy, suck it up and go ahead and play on the next game.
And try and stay in the league that way. But, you know, bad refereeing decisions are part of football. They have been forever. Exactly.
Fair enough if they think it's a penalty. But what do they mean by not accepting it, Marley? How can they not accept it? The full-time whistle blows. Everton get the 3 points and you get none. That's it. That's the game. Sorry, it's terrible, but what do you want to do? You can't replay the match, as we've already discussed. So when they say we can't accept it, I'm not sure what other option they've got but to accept it.
We've seen decisions, and this is what winds me up, like, oh, we can't accept this and we're going to explore our options. Sheffield United were relegated from the Premier League from Carlos Tevez scoring a free kick for West Ham, and he should never have been allowed to sign for West Ham because it was an illegal transfer, but they got relegated from the league. Yes, they ended up with compensation however many years later, and I think it was millions and millions in compensation, but still they had to take it. Aston Villa survived in the Premier League because somebody forgot to turn on the goal line technology. And, you know, Sheffield United, again, they had to take it and they had to get relegated and then come back again in years to come, but they never got anything for that. They had to take it.
God, Sheffield have been hard done by, haven't they?
Maybe if they'd have considered their options, you know, maybe they'd have, you know, been overturned. But ultimately, it doesn't. Nothing happens. You move on, And you have to take it. There will be another bad decision next week and the week after and the week after. But this culture of we're going to do this if you don't start making the right decisions all the time can get in the sea for me.
Football Social Daily. Find us on TikTok. Search Football Social Daily.
It's time for Sky Bet FanView on Football Social Daily. Do you think people's opinion of Forest has changed to the point where those neutrals who maybe wanted them to stay up have now changed their mind?
I don't really know where everyone sits on the fence with this, because I think maybe some fans will feel Nottingham Forest have been hard done by with the points deduction, maybe felt a little bit hard done by with the game. Let's take away the tweet and let's take away all the furore. They should have had a penalty in that game. Doesn't necessarily mean they would have won the game, because I think it was 1-0 at the time when Idrissa Garnagay scored. But with the deduction, I still think fans are a little bit more on the side of, you know, the kind of fighting against the... What's the word?
Sticking it to the man.
Yeah, fighting the... What's the word I'm looking for?
The hierarchy.
Yeah, that kind of thing. The institution, let's say. Fighting against the institution, fighting against the big boy. I think that's why Everton and Nottingham Forest are almost kind of a little bit sympathised. However, like I've always said, they broke the rules. Whether you agree with the consequences of it or not, that's your... inhibition, but for me, they broke the rules. It deserves consequences. Consequences were harsh, though.
Well, assuming that Burnley do go down with Sheffield United, 54% of people think that Luton Town will join them in the Championship again next season. Everton have 24% of the vote, whilst 22% of people think that Nottingham Forest will be relegated. Now, those are the survey results from before this weekend, before the tweet, before the result at Goodison Park. I just wonder, Marley, whether you think that opinion might have changed off the back of what we saw this weekend.
Quite possibly. I think if you ran a survey saying, who do you want to go down after this weekend? I think everybody now wants Nottingham Forest to go down after that embarrassing tweet. But yeah, I think, you know, this weekend was massive in many, many ways. You know, Everton against Forest. I think it all came down to Everton being at home and having home advantage. And getting a result over the line, you know, two long range goals that trickled in. I thought the goalie should have done better on both of them, to be honest. But yeah, that's how it played out. And it was nice to, I say nice, it was interesting to see that, you know, there was a difference between the sides. You almost want relegation battles to be decided by the teams that are in them. You almost don't want to see, you know, oh, can Everton lose by fewer goals against Liverpool than Forest can when they go away to Arsenal? You don't want it coming down to that. You want teams, you know, having a black and white game against each other to see which one's better. We've seen Burnley absolutely smash Sheffield United, and we've seen Everton get it done against Forest and plunge them into it. It now looks like Forest and Luton to join Burnley and Sheffield United, but still twists and turns to be had, and decisions, bad decisions to be made left, right and centre, and statements to be released and all sorts of stuff. So yeah, bring on the next six or seven games.
Well, that's it for this week's SkyBet FanView. We've teamed up with the guys at SkyBet to put the spotlight on the people that make the game what it is, and that is the fans, even though sometimes the fans feel like they're not really being listened to. But whether you go to games or you're someone who lives away from the action and shouts at the telly with those tactical tweaks, we've got you covered. FSD and SkyBet here every Monday with SkyBet FanView. So come and join the conversation with us. SkyBet for the fans, 18 plus, begambleaware.org. And please gamble responsibly. That's it for another episode of Football Social Daily. We'll be back again tomorrow. There is Premier League action right throughout this midweek. Lots still to be decided.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the season's done. I've got no interest in it whatsoever, for my team anyway. But the title race is heating up. Relegation race is heating up. There's a lot to come.
And Marley's booking his flights for Newcastle against Tottenham in Melbourne on the 22nd of May. That's it for today's Football Social Daily. Make sure you hit subscribe or follow. That way you'll never miss an episode again. And we'll catch you on the next one. Bye for now.
Football Social Daily is a VoiceWorks sport production for the Sports Social Podcast Network.